Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
I want to say a big thank you to everybody that helped us, you know, with the trip in Ghana. Hallelujah. We were there for 2 weeks and God was mightily moving. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful we went. I'm so grateful. And what I said last week, I want to say it again this week. Please prepare your passport. Hey, your amen is paralyzed. I'm saying prepare your passport. And you know, some people took my word very seriously. There's actually a mother who came to me after the service last week. She says to me, Pastor, is it only the passport I must prepare, or should I prepare something else? Of all the hundreds of people that were here last week, only that mother actually came and said to me, Pastor, should I only prepare the passport, or should I prepare something else? Prepare your passport. Amen. Amen. Because my desire is that when we go next year, I don't go alone. Amen. Bishop Kolinyati of Zimbabwe took 150 people with him. So if you include him, that was 151 people. I was very inspired by that. So, not that I want to compete. He's a father. He's a father. Fathers inspire us. Oh, yes. Amen. Amen. And I went to see him during the conference, and I thought I was very inspired. I'm always inspired by him. The church he built in Zimbabwe, in Bulawayo, is a great man of God. Hallelujah. See, always have people that you are looking up to in any field and endeavor you are in. Maybe the reason you're not making progress is because there's nobody that is inspiring you. You are inspired by yourself. You must always have something ahead of you that tells you, look, don't settle where you are. There's more that your life can produce. Amen? Amen. We serve a generous God. Amen. We serve a good God. Amen. We serve a faithful God. Amen. Hallelujah. And this will never change. No matter how hard your life is right now, the truth remains that God is good. God is faithful. I don't want you to ever allow your circumstances to define your God. Never allow what you are going through to define who God is. God is bigger than anything you are going through. And that's our problem, is that it seems like God for you is only when things are good. And as soon as things turn sour, God is no more good. God is no more great. Don't define God based on your circumstances. Define God based on who He is and what the Bible tells you He is. He's consistent with Himself. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, if you can come there with me quickly this morning, the Bible here says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Hallelujah. Amen. He has done what? He has blessed us with what? Oh, come on, preach with me this morning. Every spiritual blessing. He has blessed us. Not He will bless us. This is so important. What you are hearing is that God has already blessed you. And for anyone here who is saying that, I don't need a blessing. I need money. Then I want to tell you something very, very quickly. Proverbs 10:22 will answer you very, very well. Pastor, I hear that God has blessed me. Now, what I need is gelete. Can I see some money around me? Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord brings money. So if you could just receive the blessing first, many other things will flow. Hallelujah. Yes. I say many other things will flow. Yes. If you could learn to respect the blessing. The Bible says after God created man, he blessed him. And that's all God did. God just blessed Adam and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. God has never done anything else. Just that blessing was enough to carry us 6,000 years later. We are building ships, we are building aeroplanes, we are building all kinds of things. With that one word, be fruitful. One word from God can change your whole life. You ask yourself, why do we come and sit in the church to hear somebody preach? Because you see, Jesus says, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Don't let Satan cheat you that you have paid a sacrifice to come and sit to hear. And still, even that hearing, you don't hear it. Because this is the main thing. Like my son was saying, this is the main thing. This is what changes us. When God speaks. Amen. When God speaks. Especially when God speaks and you believe. Jesus spoke about four kinds of grounds. Way beside ground, rocky ground, thorny ground, and a good ground. Decide to be a good ground. That as the word of God is coming, the word of God will find that your heart is ready. Because the word of God has power in itself to bring itself to pass. But the word of God needs a good ground where it can start germinating. Jesus speaking says, my word is the seed. Luke 11 verse 8. The word is the seed. Or Luke 8 verse 11. Praise the Lord. Wow. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Now the seed needs a good soil. May you become a good soil this morning. Don't let your heart be troubled, Jesus told the disciples. Don't let your heart, you can let your heart be troubled. You can let your heart be worried. You can let your heart be hurt. You can let your heart be offended. You can let your heart be disturbed. You can let your heart. But Jesus said, don't let your heart. Because your heart is where the flows of life come. He said, guard your heart. Out of your heart flows the issues of your life. Your life comes from your heart. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. I think, you, my brother, you are done with your job. I'm not. You cannot work twice the same person. He's done. You let the other person work now, okay? Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Don't let your heart be troubled. You see, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. You see, faith works in the heart. In the heart. That's why Satan works without a day off to ensure that your heart is disturbed, to ensure that your heart is no more believing. But as you are here this morning, God's word is going to refresh your heart. Amen. God's word is going to strengthen your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. We are built by the word of God. He said, I don't give people magic stuff here. Some of you have been coming to church for many years. I've never ever given you something. Say, hey, when you get home, take this one, put under your bed. This one, put under your pillow. I only give what Jesus gave, the word of God. I give you the word of God. And the word of God is all you need. The word of God. Now, the word of God must come and find that your heart is ready. Otherwise, the word doesn't work. It doesn't work. Your heart is disturbed. School fees. Beloved, girlfriend, boyfriend. Lack of money. Somebody said something to you before you. Satan usually ensures that before you come to church, something bad must happen to you. I'm talking to somebody here. You are sitting in the church right now, but your heart is still hanging somewhere on something that happened to you during the week. But Jesus said, let not your heart, meaning it is your permission. Satan needs your permission to trouble your heart. He works with your permission. So when he said, let not your heart, means you can decide to let your heart be troubled. And you can say, my heart will not be troubled.
Can you say that with me? I will not let my heart be troubled.
Yeah. Don't let your heart be troubled. You need to learn to speak to yourself. Instead of to yourself, I will be happy. I will be happy. I choose to be happy. Instead of saying, but you cannot be happy. Look at what she just did to you. No, I still choose to be happy. My life is not determined by what this one does, or by what that one does, or by what that one does. My life is determined by the word of God, and I'm going to go with the word of God. I choose to be happy. Hallelujah. Let not your heart. It is your permission. It is your decision. Nobody can hurt you or offend you without your permission. There are people you have so empowered. They don't greet you, you are offended. And they greet you, you are offended. You have empowered them so much. Your heart is where the word needs to dwell before the word start producing the results. So your heart is very important. Protect your heart. Protect your heart. Help me tell the person next to you, protect your heart. It is your responsibility. Protect your heart. Look at, I think it's Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart above all else. Wow. Somebody is blessed right here now. Guard your heart. Find it. Above all else. Oh yes. Proverbs 4:23. NIV. Above all else, do what? Guard your heart. Why? It is the wellspring of life. NLT it. Guard your heart above all else. Why? It determines the course of your life. Your heart determines the course of your life. Your heart. The direction your life takes is determined by your heart. So guard your heart. Be careful what you expose your heart to. Those of us, you watch horror movies. And your life becomes a horror movie itself. Yeah, your whole life becomes a big horror movie that nobody wants to associate with you. And you know why? You've been watching horror movies. Been watching pornography. And your life becomes wasted. Wasted. Nothing good can come out of your life. Because there is nothing good that comes out of pornography. I will preach in the church. Oh. I'll preach. Don't sow seeds and later you are wondering, why are these things in my life? What is this? No, you have put something in your heart. The good news this morning is that whatever is in your heart, that is not the will of God. Jesus said, any tree that my father did not plant shall be uprooted. May the word of God this morning uproot any tree that God did not plant in your heart. Any tree that Jesus did not plant, that the tree is trying to grow, to produce fruit. We curse that tree like Jesus cursed the fig tree. We curse it. Take your seat, please. Do I have your attention? So I was saying to you, Ephesians 1 verse 3, this whole talk came because I could sense that you are not hearing what I'm saying. That's why I just went off to bring your heart. Now I'm saying to you, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say amen to such things. He has blessed us. You are not cursed. Listen, there might be curses in your life, but you are blessed. A few years ago, Nigeria was mentioned as the most corrupt country in the world. Do you believe every Nigerian is corrupt? Huh? Is it possible that every Nigerian is corrupt? But the whole country is called something. I was in Ghana. In Ghana, South Africans are known to be very violent people. It is known there that if we are near you, be careful. Like, any moment, anything can start happening to you now. You can lose an ear like Peter. I mean, people believe Peter was a South African. You can just take a knife now, any moment, start cutting people's ears. Yeah. We are so used to the violence in South Africa that when you go to another place, it's strange. We were at the airport, and there was this place where you can charge your cell phone. Like, you can just come and charge your cell phone. And somebody put his cell phone there and left. Like, we came there. There was a cell phone, a very nice cell phone that was being charged there. And there was no owner. I looked at my wife. My wife looked at me. I reminded her, you are a lady pastor. I say, you are a pastor. Let's leave this phone alone. Then we also took our phones. We charged. But we are from South Africa. We stayed right there. So a time came, we wanted to record that video that we sent you. So the shepherd said to me, Pastor, we need to go over there. I said, what about the phones? He said, no, we'll ask one of the security guys to watch over the phones. So my wife went and found the security guy and said to him, sir, we are just going that corner. You can still see us. They were there. Here are our phones. You must watch over our phones. The guy said, nothing is going to happen to your phones. My wife said to him, no, you don't understand. There's iPhone this. There's a lot of phones there. We are going. He said, no, just go. Nothing is going to happen. Then it dawned to us. We are so used to. Your phone, even in church, people are stealing phones inside the church. Please check your cell phone right now. Check your cell phone. Before you realize something has happened and it's not an angel. There's a brother who stole a cell phone like this here for my sister. And she knew who he was. So I sent robust guys to his house. Bring the phone. So he brought the phone. He gave her back the phone. So we asked him, why did you steal this phone? He said, even me the other day I was there at church, somebody stole my phone. So I'm also just doing what they've been doing to me. Serious. His reason was that somebody stole his phone in this church before. So he was just giving back what has been done to him. Are you here? So when I say to you, God has blessed us. Sometimes you are so used to curses. You are so used to bad. That when you hear God has blessed you, it's like it's nothing. It means nothing. You are so used to things not working. You are so used to problems. When I say God has blessed you, may that word land in a right heart right now. That you will believe God has blessed me. Oh, but how come there's the God has blessed me. I am blessed. This is something you should say a lot. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. You must say it a lot. When somebody asks you, hey, how are you doing? I'm blessed. I am blessed. When I used to work at Sun City, everybody was calling me, I am blessed. They all knew. When you asked me, how are you? I am blessed. It was so strange. They were never used to that. I'm okay. We are trying. I am blessed. Imagine what your life will become if you will say constantly, I am blessed. Say it. Just say it for free. Say it for free to yourself. I am blessed. You see, you are even smiling just by saying it. I am blessed. My brother didn't say it, so he's not smiling. He's still just looking. Words carry power. Say, I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed.
Satan wants your mind to be captivated by you are cursed. The family is cursed. Generational curses. But what is the word saying? I'm asking, what is the Bible saying to you? Bless. If you could start saying that more, you will say it enough to start believing it. And you will see it. Take your seat. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Praise the Lord. So God will not bless you. God has blessed you. Praise the Lord. Now, come with me to Obadiah chapter 1 verse 17. Here the Bible says, but on Mount Zion, there shall be what? No, let's start from the beginning. There shall be what? Deliverance. I've taught you in this church, when you see Mount Zion, or when you see Zion, don't think too much. Zion means the church. Everywhere you see Zion, it's referring to the church. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Yeah. So when Paul says in the book of Hebrews, we have come to Mount Zion, to the company of innumerable angels, to the spirit of just men made perfect, don't think he's just prophesying philosophy. He's saying to you, you have come to church. You have come. He says you have come to Mount Zion. I think it's Hebrews 5 or something. If they can find it quickly for me. Look at this. But you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Hallelujah. The heavenly Jerusalem. To an innumerable company of angels. Look at verse 23. To the general assembly. Okay, to make it simple, to the church. Are you here? Are you in the church? Some of you, it's like you are not used to certain, you are not used to the word in a certain way. Like you are, it's like I'm taking you by surprise. Like, what's going on with this guy? Like, what's going on with this guy? Like, you are used to hip hop. Some of you, as I look at you, like you've been watching too many movies. Yeah, you haven't been at church for a while. And hey, you are in ICU right now. But Jesus is going to get you out of that ICU. He says you have come to the general assembly and to the church. Mount Zion is the church. The church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. You see, so he's not talking about heaven. He said you are registered in heaven, but you are on earth at the moment. Is your name in the book of life? Is your name in the book of life? Are you registered in heaven? Registered in heaven. That's where you have come. The church is a very powerful place. Go to verse 22 again. My God, my whole message has changed. Lord, have mercy on me this morning. You have come to Mount Zion. Tell your neighbor, welcome to Mount Zion. Welcome to Mount Zion. You have come to Mount Zion. What is Mount Zion? The city of the living God. So you have come to a living God. You are not in a dead church. You are not in some shrine. You are in the city of the living God. Oh, I pray you will receive the word. I pray you will receive the word. That's why we dance in church. That's why we shout in church. Because our God is alive. You have come to the city of the living God. The heavenly Jerusalem. That's where you are. Every true church is a heavenly Jerusalem. I mean, that is the representation of Jerusalem in that area. Innumerable company of angels. Brothers and sisters, maybe we are less than 100 here this morning. God have mercy on us. But only God knows how many angels are here right now. Innumerable company of angels. That's where you are. Tell your neighbor, welcome to Mount Zion. You are in the right place. Verse 23. Oh, you have come to the General Assembly. Why is the General Assembly? Because you see, God doesn't just know Allah Bible Church. Allah Bible Church is part of the General Assembly. There are thousands and millions of churches. When all those churches come together, the General Assembly has come together. The church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven to God, the judge of all, to the spirit of judgment made perfect. Do you know what this means? Every great man of God that has died, when we gather together, sometimes they also join us. They are the ones, watch this. They are the one the Bible called the spirit of judgment. They were judgment when they were on earth, but now their spirit has been made perfect. So when we come together, sometimes they also join us. They watch us. Somebody is saying, Pastor, can you prove it? Well, I can prove it to you. Jesus went to a mountain one time to pray. And as Jesus was praying, all of a sudden, Moses appeared before Jesus. Elijah also appeared to Jesus. These are spirits of judgment made perfect. They came to join a man who was on earth. And to show you that it was really happening, Peter saw it. Andrew saw it. Peter even said, it was so real. Peter said, let me make three tents. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. The spirits of just men made perfect. You are part of something so magnificent. You are part of something so great. That's why when you come to church looking sicky and grumpy and all of these things, you cannot enjoy church. You cannot enjoy what God is doing. You are missing out so much. Look at this. Peter answered, said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Tell your neighbor, it is good for us to be here. It is good. It's good for us to be here. It's very good. Please shake the hand of your neighbor, tell him you did well to come to church this morning. You did very well. It is good for us to be here. He said, let us make three tabernacles. One for you. One for who? And one for who? The man he is referring to are dead. But their spirits can join you from time to time. The Bible talks of John the Baptist, say he will come in the spirit and power of Elijah. Elisha told Elijah, let the double portion of your spirit come on me. I feel like telling you something, but I don't know if you are ready for such things. I feel like telling you, the deeper you go in God, the less of your own life you start to live. Some of you, you are Esther, but it's because you don't read the Bible, so you don't know that you are actually, your life just looks like the life of Esther. Some of you, you are Joseph, but because you haven't read the Bible, you don't realize that your brother's hating you, this and this happening to you, you are just living Joseph. The closer you get to God, the less natural your life becomes. You will just figure out that these scriptures is talking about me. Jesus says, it is mentioned about me in the book. You should read the Bible and see yourself in the Bible. Say, this scripture, this thing, this is me. This is David. I am David. I'm always fighting giants. I'm talking to somebody here this morning. If you could spend time in the Bible, you will find yourself. And you'll be comforted in knowing, this is not the first time. I'm not the first this has happened to. That will help you. I should be able to ask you, who are you in the Bible? You should know who you are. I say you should know who you are in the Bible. You shouldn't say, well, before you realize you are Judas. Before you realize you are Judas, because you didn't locate yourself well, Judas said, I think I can be, you can be me if you don't find anybody. I'm available. I can assist you. When you hear something like that, say, God forbid, God forbid, God forbid. It shall never happen to me. Put your hands together for the living Christ. Are you blessed? Welcome to Mount Zion. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Please take your seat. I want to say a few words. By the way, the message I'm preaching this morning is available on YouTube. Show them the picture. It's available on YouTube. You can find it. Those who press. That's actually what I'm trying to preach. Those who do what? Those who press shall possess. When I say those who press, you must say shall possess. Those who press, those who possess, shall press. I can already tell you in advance, I will not be able to preach all of it because we are out of time. But go on YouTube, go on Facebook. If you love your life, if you love your destiny, go and invest in yourself. And even go on CastBox. It's also available on CastBox for audio. Those of you that don't have a lot of data, you're always struggling with data, go on CastBox. And you heard the announcement. My team is ready to help you download CastBox. And you can say to them, after you download CastBox, download Those Who Press. Download that message for me right now. Download that one for me. I want to hear it. Amen. Obadiah chapter 1 verse 17. Let's quickly run it. It says, but on Mount Zion there shall be what? Yes. What is Mount Zion? Yes. Say it loud. What is Mount Zion? Yes. The church. Now these are the things that happen at church. Number one, deliverance. So when you come to church, expect deliverance. That's the first thing God wants to do for you and for me. God is not interested in giving you things first. God is first interested in your deliverance. So on Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. The first and greatest deliverance that happens in the church is deliverance from hell. The Bible says he has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. The first deliverance is salvation. It's the greatest deliverance. You were on your way to hell to be kebab and braai for demons. And the Son of God sent his hand and moved you from darkness and place you in light. Never go to church and end up in hell. It's the worst thing that can happen to you. That you were attending church, but you never allowed Jesus to deliver you from hell. That's why at the end of every message, I always give people an opportunity to get born again. Because on Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. Look at that. He has delivered us. Go back to the verse. The verse you just had now. Praise the Lord. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and had conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. That's the first deliverance. And after this deliverance, other deliverances are always taking place. God start delivering your mind from lies and deceptions. God start delivering your heart from bitterness and offense and revenge. God start delivering your spirit from demons. A lot of deliverance take place when you come to church. That's why Satan fights church attendance. Satan will prefer you don't come to church because he doesn't want you to be delivered. Satan wants you to remain bound. Every time you miss church, you have missed an opportunity to be delivered from something. You have missed. I mean, since I started preaching, a lot of deliverance has been happening to you. It's just that you are not shaking with demons. The greatest deliverance, the smallest demons are the ones that make people shake. Real demons don't make you shake. They make you think. The small ones that are still learning how to possess you, they shake. You see, anything that is still very weak, it shakes a lot. But things that are stable, they don't shake. So real demons don't make you shake. They make you think. So the Bible says that, you know, we pull down what? Strongholds. A stronghold is a thinking in your mind. Demons really work at affecting your thinking. Because once I have affected your thinking, I don't need to monitor you. You will just go the way I have trained you to think. When I haven't touched your thinking, I have to convince you. I have to talk a lot all the time. Convince you, no, go to the bar. No, go to drink. Like, I have to talk a lot. But once I have placed the mind, going to the bar is good. Nobody must ever tell me to not go to the bar. When that thought has settled, the demon can go to enter another person. You will keep going to the bar until you come to church and there's deliverance. Oh, you are useless. You are not beautiful. It's a thought. Once that thought settles, you might never shake, but you will come and you will hear the truth, and the truth will set you free. You will just start, oh, I'm not ugly. I'm not cursed. The Bible just said I'm blessed. You see, you've heard the truth. And the truth you've heard is delivering you from a mindset. But that's what happens in the church. That's why Satan fights church attendance. Satan will love you. You must see the taverns full to capacity. He wants you to be bound. But he's aware, if you go to Alababi Church, that guy, God has anointed him. He will say things that will unlock you. You shouldn't go there. Go and do this. Go there. He will keep you busy, helter skelter. He will fight your friends. And he will convince you, okay, if you want to go alone, just go. Just go. Don't take this other person. No, don't take this one. Just go alone. There shall be deliverance. Deliverance on Mount Zion. The next thing that happened on Mount Zion, there shall be what? Holiness. Hey, I'm a holiness. The only place that even mentions such a name is in the church. You've been in a hospital and they say, are you holy? Have you gone to a hospital and they ask you, are you holy? Or you went to a police station and they ask you, are you holy? The only place on earth where such a word is even mentioned is in the church. Even though today, even in some churches, they can't mention it. If you mention it, you'll offend this person. If you mention it, this group will never come again. But on Mount Zion, there shall be what? And there shall be what? Holiness. All my unholy people are not happy with me right now, I'm telling you. all my unholy friends. They say, Pastor, you were preaching very well until you now started that second subject. Why are you going that way now? You've been going very well. Holiness. He says, be holy because I am holy. We say, holy, holy, holy are you, oh God. You are in the holy Jerusalem. You are in the heavenly Jerusalem. And Jerusalem must look like the real thing. There's no darkness in heaven. Angels cry day and night, holy, holy, holy are you. If we are in a heavenly Jerusalem, we too must have that nature in us. So when you come to church, God delivers you. After God delivers you, God starts working on making you holy. It's only in the church that God starts. What does it mean to be holy? It means to be set apart. Set apart for godly use. That's what it means to be holy. To be holy doesn't mean you don't commit fornication. Because some of you, I already lost you. Once I say you must be holy, I'm finished. The type of fornication I've been committing, even last night, I was busy jumping like a frog. Now I'm here. I don't know. To be holy doesn't mean you don't commit fornication. If that's what you're saying, when the Bible says the temple is holy, so the Bible is saying the temple doesn't commit fornication. Can the temple commit fornication? When the Bible says that the garments of Aaron are holy, is the Bible saying that the garments of Aaron cannot commit fornication? No, the Bible is saying the garments of Aaron are set apart for godly use. So when the Bible says you are holy, the Bible is saying, consider yourself to be what? Set apart for what? Godly use. In other words, you are no more available for satanic and demonic use. Clap. Hallelujah. Well, say, I'm holy. Hallelujah. And you are not lying. You are holy. Because you see, God is setting you apart for godly use. Hallelujah. Look, even if you are committing fornication 4 times a week, now you have descended to 2. You are holy. You are working on it. You are like, you see, you are already holy, but you are just perfecting the holiness. Tell your neighbor you are holy. You are holy. You are very holy. You are holy. That's why a true believer that will be holy must serve God. That's why you are set apart. You are not set apart to watch. You are set apart for godly use. So you set yourself apart so that God can start using you. That's why you should never come to church and just be a spectator. You will not be holy for long. Satan will get you dropped too quickly. The more you are sitting in the chair doing nothing, Satan will have a job for you. You are blessed. Wow. The message I had for you this morning is so important. But come next week. I will push it next week for you. Hallelujah. We'll push it next week. We'll push it next week. Look at it. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possession. So it is in the holy Jerusalem, in the church, that's where what is yours finally lands in your hands. It's in the church. Musa, your wife to be shouldn't think about such things right now. You understand? Must first go to which grade are you? Push for grade 9. Then what? 10. Then what? Metric, then what? Exactly. Yes, sir. This guy's thinking. But there are many grade 8. There are many grade 8 that are already thinking, girlfriend. Do you have a girlfriend?
No, sir.
Do you know?
No.
You don't know him? You just met him here? And he's even surprised you say you don't know him. Do you know him? Okay. Does he have a girlfriend?
No.
He doesn't have a girlfriend. Does he have a beloved? He doesn't know what it means to have a beloved. Praise the Lord. Put your hands together for the living Christ. It is in the church that you will find your job. Oh, you are not hearing me. It is in the church that you will find your husband. Look, don't be surprised when somebody is cooking you with punches in the house. Ask yourself, where did I find this guy? I'm a tavern. What are you expecting? Where did you find this wife? At work. She only knows to type laptop. She cannot cook. The house of Jacob shall possess their possession. Where? Mount Zion. So you come to Mount Zion, you must say, Lord, whatever possessions are mine in Mount Zion, I'm taking them in the name of Jesus. That's why we come to pray. That's why we do all these things. This coming, I think these people didn't announce the things. Did they announce? Were their announcement done today? He didn't do well. This Friday, we are having all night. You see, you are not saying anything. I'm saying, we are having an all night. I say, hey. All night. We are coming here to pray. Why? It is in the house of Jacob. The house of Jacob shall possess their possession. Then on the 30th of August, we are having Linyalo. The house of Jacob shall possess their possessions in the house of God. In the house of God. When now you are not coming fully, you come to visit, you come there and there. That's why you are not possessing anything. Next week, Sunday, I will show you how you and I can start possessing our possessions. Hallelujah. All the blessings of my life have come from the house of God. All of them. I met my wife in the church. I got my job. The person who gave me a job came to church. Found me at church. I was playing the piano at church. It was a white man. After the service, he called me. He asked, would you like to work? I said, oh, I'm working. He said, you are working where? I said, no, I'm teaching music to some people. He said, I'm talking about a real job. I told him, no, this is a very real job. I told him, it's a real job. I was even arguing with the guy. Like, this is a real job. He said, no, I'm talking about a proper job. To get you a good job. I've worked in that company for 15 years. I didn't get fired. I resigned to come and work for God. I met my wife in the church. She was in the worship team. Was in the church. My son is in the church. My daughters are in the church. All my friends, I found them in the church. Anything that has ever happened to me that is good came from the church. Am I saying that you cannot get good things out of the church? No.
I'm just saying that me, because I belong to Christ, I only know how to get them down from here. Can we stand on our feet, please?
Those who press shall possess. Hallelujah.
So this morning, I didn't teach on those who press. I didn't teach. Your hearts were so far. I spent the whole preaching just bringing your hearts. Like, I haven't spoken a word on this message. All the nice things you heard were just your message, were not the message I prepared. It was the message of the Holy Ghost for you. So the Holy Ghost prepared another message for you this morning. And he used my mouth to preach it to you. Praise the Lord. And I want to just ask you right now to think about this deeply as we're about to close. Give us that verse again. It has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. Praise the Lord. So he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us. To convey means to translate or to transport to the kingdom of the Son of His love. Darkness should not be found in our lives. Any form of darkness in your life should not be there. Amen. It shouldn't be there. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And the good news this morning is that Jesus can deliver you from the power of darkness, from the control of darkness. It can move you to another area. Praise the Lord. I just want you to lift your two hands and start thanking God for the word you have received so far. Just start thanking Him. Father, I want to thank you. You have shown me so many things. You have spoken to me. Come on, open your mouth. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord. Let your voice. Come on, come pray. Thank Him. I sent my word. Heal your disease. Oh, yes. I am the Lord, your healer. I am the Lord that healeth.
Keep praying.
The word is healing you right now. The word is healing your soul. The word is healing your spirit, your mind.
Ah.
Mendele brando sibre halebalage de baraba. Brande liga de presedere. Come and open your heart to the Holy Spirit. He is here and He wants to heal you. He wants to break the power of darkness out of your life.
My God.
Come and pray from the depths of your heart.
I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord your healer.
I send my word and I heal your disease.
I am the Lord, your healer. Yeah.
I am the Lord,
God healing thee.
I am the Lord. Can't get a man to tell it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for sending your word to heal my disease.
My God. Prende l'ubronda zebre gandere barabu. Oh yes. Would you please lift your two hands to him right now? He's healing you. He's healing you. The power of God is here. The presence of God is here. There are things in your life that need healing this morning. There are things in your heart that need healing this morning. And the presence of God is right here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's become aware of his presence. Let's become aware of his presence right now. He's healing us. He's healing us. He's healing us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Keep playing the same song. Thank you, Jesus. Oh yes. Let him touch you, please. We are at the end, but just let him touch you for a moment. You have come to the living God. The living God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are touching us right now. You are healing us. Oh, brande brezando broli brendele breganda namasandereba. Something is breaking out of somebody's life right now. A yoke, a burden, something you came to church with, something that you came, it's been weighing you down. God is breaking that thing right now. He's breaking that thing right now. Mande brazo brodo bogada baraba. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Your presence. Your presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just be sensitive to his presence. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He's breaking certain things that have been fighting you, even in your dreams. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Things that have been fighting people in their dreams. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You are breaking that yoke. You are breaking that yoke now. You are breaking that yoke over this person's life. You are breaking that yoke in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Any burden that you came here carrying, place it in his hands. The word of God says in Zion, there shall be deliverance. There shall be deliverance. May you be delivered this morning from anything that is molesting you, that is tormenting you. May the power of that thing be broken. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. We give you praise. You can take your hands down. You can close your eyes and bow your heads. If you are here this morning, you've never ever given your life to Jesus. You want Jesus to come into your life and break the power of darkness. You want Jesus to come and deliver you from a life of sin. A life that is making you unholy continuously, unusable in the hands of God. The blood of Jesus is here this morning. The presence of God is here this morning to deliver you, to heal you, to restore you. I want to pray for you if you are saying, Pastor, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I want Jesus to become my Lord and my Savior. I want Jesus to rule over my life. That is you. I'm going to count up to three. If you want me to pray with you, you want to give your life to Jesus. You want to surrender your life to Jesus. When you hear three, just raise it high. Pastor, pray with me. I want to be born again. I want my sins to be forgiven. When you hear three, just raise your right hand. Pastor, we pray with you. One, two, three. You can raise your right hand. God bless you. 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 You're saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to be born again. God bless you. Thank you so much. You can take your hands now. Now, if you are already here, you are already born again, but this morning you want to recommit your life to Jesus. You want him to rule over you. He's here. He can help you. At the count of three, Pastor, I want to recommit my life to Jesus. I can pray with you. 1, 2, 3. You can raise your right hand. Pastor, I want you to recommit to God. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Now, all of us that raise our hands, can you please make your way to the altar so I can pray with you? You can come. Make your way. Can we sing it together? To the heaven as you sing. I surrender. Oh, I surrender. Sing from the depths of your heart. Unto you. Unto thee, my blessed Savior. Repeat these words after me from the depths of your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died and rose on the third day. Right now, I give you my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Change everything. Take control over my destiny. Thank you, Lord, for loving me, for forgiving me, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for these precious ones that have come to you today. Let your spirit touch them. Let their lives be changed forever. Let nothing remain the same, Lord. Bless them. Empower them. Equip them. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.